Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, March 11th. In a developing story, both Delta County Sheriff Mark Taylor and Montrose County Sheriff Gene Lillard have gone on the record opposing the red flag bill being debated at the state capitol. The so-called red flag bill is House Bill 1177. And it proposes that the state be allowed to take guns away from people who are a threat to themselves or to others. The bill has been heard in the House, but has yet to have a hearing in the Senate. Denver Democrat and House Majority Leader Alec Garnett is sponsoring the bill, also known as the Extreme Risk Protection Order. At least 10 different county sheriffs from around the state have said they could choose not to enforce the bill if it is passed. Already last week, Weld, Fremont, Montezuma, Otero, and Custer counties all passed resolutions declaring themselves to be so-called Second Amendment sanctuaries, excusing their local sheriffs and other law enforcement officers from enforcing the bill. No word yet if Delta or Montrose counties will follow in their path, but both counties have work sessions scheduled to discuss the subject. According to the Montrose County Sheriff Facebook page, the Board of County Commissioners will discuss the red flag bill in a work session this morning at 9 a.m. The public is welcome to attend the meeting, which will take place at 161 South Townsend Avenue. And the Delta County Commissioners will talk about the red flag bill in a work session Tuesday, March 12th, at 3 p.m. at the Delta County Courthouse. And please stay tuned to KVNF News for ongoing coverage of this issue. Safety officials in Gunnison County are urging the public to exercise extreme caution when removing snow from roofs following a string of incidents that led to several hospitalizations and one fatality. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KBUT's Christopher Biddle reports from Crested Butte.
25-year-old Stefan Martel of Gunnison and his employer, 37-year-old Blair Burton of Crested Butte, were clearing snow from the restaurant where the men worked when they were buried. They were transported to Gunnison Valley Hospital, where Burton was treated for hypothermia, and Martel sadly succumbed to his injuries. Rob Weisbaum is operations chief for the Crested Butte Fire Protection District.
Just a little bit amount of snow can be catastrophic to anybody that's buried in it. Because it's so heavy and dense, within minutes, it's possible for somebody to suffocate.
Emergency responders had experienced a similar situation the previous day in which a Mount Crested Butte man was buried by a roof avalanche and found unconscious but still breathing. Weisbaum recommends having a spotter who is not exposed to falling snow and who is equipped with the basic avalanche safety tools, a beacon shovel, and a probe while removing snow from roofs. For KBUT, I'm Christopher Biddle.
Former Governor John Hickenlooper kicked off his bid for president in front of a hometown crowd last week in downtown Denver. Last Wednesday, Hickenlooper used the backdrop of the brew pub he started more than 30 years ago to speak to reporters about why he's running for president. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
You know, I've been to Iowa a number of times now. I've been to house parties. I've been into restaurants. And there has been a genuine affection and response. The people, they are tired and frustrated by the inability of Washington to get things done, and I think that they are very interested in exploring the candidacy of someone who has a consistent track record of bringing people together, getting them to put down their weapons, and getting things done.
But before he started taking questions, Hickenlooper reminisced about the days tumbleweeds used to roll down the street in this warehouse district he helped bring back to life.
There was a wonderful dishwasher named Kevin, I won't use his last name. I had long blonde hair when we first opened, and the dishwashing was kind of right over, right where the brewery now is. And I'd come in every Sunday morning after a late night closing up and clean up and make sure everything was in and get it ready for the day. And Kevin would be doing the dishes and the pots and pans left over from Saturday night. And he would sing that song from U2 called With You, Without You. he had this beautiful tenor, and in this big empty building, it just echoed. And I remember feeling, we finally got this thing open, and I think it's going to succeed.
Hickenlooper thinks his experience at Denver City Hall and the state capitol have prepared him for the presidency. He talked about having to work with Democrats and Republicans on contentious issues at the state house.
We've gotten to almost universal health care coverage. As I said, it's almost 95% in a bipartisan way. You know, when I first said that I was going to be able to get the oil and gas industry sit down and have meaningful discussions with the environmental community, people, one after another, said that's not going to happen. They hate each other. They don't trust each other. They won't talk to each other. And that's how it started. But it's a process of going back again and again and just listening to what people's real issues are.
The former governor admits he faces an uphill battle to win the crowded Democratic primary. He isn't nearly as well known as Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and he was the only candidate wearing a name tag at a recent meet and greet in Iowa.
My hope is that as we do better in Iowa, do better in New Hampshire, do better in South Carolina, the media will say, huh, this is interesting. This maybe America does care about actual, you know, progress and is less concerned about labels and attacks.
The atmosphere at the press conference was very different from the ones Hickenlooper held as governor. Reporters from national media outlets such as NBC and the Huffington Post were there, and some reporters shouted over one another as they tried to get a question in, including whether he supports the filibuster.
I am so angry at the television sometimes that I am ready to vote to get rid of the filibuster forever. But I think it plays a useful role, and at other times...
He was also asked whether he thinks Israel has too much influence in national politics.
In Colorado, I don't think I should be judging how much influence Israel has in Washington. Let me get to Washington, and then I'll let you know.
And finally, he weighed in on one of the hottest topics right now in Washington, border security.
When I see families apprehended, their children ripped away from their mothers, in many cases, those children were put up for adoption after a certain point of time, isn't that... I mean, doesn't that come under the heading of kidnapping?
As Hickenlooper started walking away from the podium, he revealed himself as a candidate who doesn't always stick to a script. He whispered to his press secretary that he forgot to mention that he raised $1 million in the first 48 hours of his candidacy. After his rally in downtown Denver, Hickenlooper plans to fly to Iowa for a series of meet and greets. After that, it's on to Austin, Texas. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, March 11th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.